produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again, and we are excited for this program today. It's been another interesting week. It's been a great week, and we are just delighted to be able to spend a few minutes here with you. As we've pondered over the last several days, a topic that we could discuss in this program, there have been several events and things that have occurred that have steered me in a specific direction. And I would like to talk about, without having a better title for it, let me just say the power of one. The power of one. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, a number of years ago, I came across a quote from a gentleman many, many years ago who had been the chaplain of the United States Senate. His name was Edward Everett Hale. And this quote of his goes as follows. I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. The something I ought to do, I can do, and by the grace of God, I will. Now, as I've thought about that over the years, I have seen demonstrated many, many examples in my life, and as you read through history, many, many examples throughout the past of how significant and what a difference one person can make in human history or on the human condition. You know, we think of people like a Florence Nightingale, who single-handedly did so much in the nursing profession, or Mother Teresa, or Nelson Mandela, or and Martin Luther King. And you could just go down the list of many individuals who have had a powerful, significant impact on our society and on our life. And so many people will often say, well, you know, I'm just one person. I can't change this, or I can't do anything about that. And I'm here today to perhaps suggest to all of us that we should not let our vision of possibilities be limited out of fear. I recently came across just something very simple. A gentleman by the name of Rodney Smith Jr., I believe he lives in Alabama, I believe, has a little organization he started called Raising Men Lawn Care Service, and subsequently added Raising Women Lawn Care Service. And basically, his premise was founded on something that he discovered along the way. He's in the lawn care business, and he one day was cutting the grass of a home that he was being paid for. He noticed an elderly fella in the home next door, and the grass was rather tall. And so he felt impressed to go over and cut the grass there for free. The gentleman was very appreciative, and out of that gave Rodney an idea that there needed to be more done for the elderly, for veterans, and for individuals who maybe had physical disabilities and could not take care of their own lawns. And so as time went by, he did this as he was able with time, but one day an idea came to him, And he created a movement, if you will, an organization where he will provide children, girls and boys, the opportunity to take on a challenge. And for every 10 yards that they will cut for free as a service, they get a t-shirt. And when they complete 50 yards, not only do they get in these different color t-shirts every 10 yards they cut, and with the 50th yard cut, not only do they get another t-shirt, but they also get their own lawnmower, a weed eater, and a blower free. And he will physically drive and deliver it to them. And there have been literally hundreds of these provided around the country. And this movement has gone worldwide. And there's a lot that I could share about that. But in the interest of time, here's one individual rendering service and inspiring young people to follow in his footsteps to do the same. And so, what is it? As the saying goes, anything he can mow, she can mow better. He's saying we are raising men and women. And so this Raising Men and Women Lawn Care Service is something that is having a positive impact. And as you go to their website, and we'll have that link in our Facebook post on our program today, you can see the stories and the pictures of many, many, many young people who have participated in this. You know, as we think about this opportunity as one person, you don't need to look to others. Look to yourself. Think what would happen if everyone shouted out their window at the same time. The sound would be unnerving. Now think about the impact that we could have if we collectively made someone feel special, mentored a colleague, or helped a person in need. The impact would be astounding. There is power in numbers. One person could get things started, a second person can create some momentum, and a third person may influence others to join in. And before you know it, you've created a movement. That's what Rodney has done. So, simple everyday things done by everyday people can change lives. Sometimes we feel the world is so large and complex that it's impossible for any one of us to make a difference. When something comes up that requires action, we think, I'm only one person. What can I do anyway? The result is that we all sit back and wait for others to make the first move. That is, if anyone else is willing to make the effort. But what if we tried? What if we shed our fears and inhibitions and others did as well? What if we challenged ourselves to stand up and be counted? And we each made a difference in our own special way. Or better yet, what if enough people stepped forward and accepted the challenge as well? The truth is, we might be able to change the world. As Steve Jobs said, quote, the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do, close quote. You can make a difference if you try. Still unconvinced that one person can make a difference? Well, tell that to the angel who saved the patient's life by donating one of her organs. Or to the craftsman who helped his poor neighbor by rebuilding their weather-torn home. Or to the couple who showed true meaning of love by adopting a foster child. They gave of themselves and are changing lives as a result. If you don't have to do something life-changing, you don't have to do something life-changing to make a difference. Your deed can be as simple as making someone feel special, reaching out to a lonely person, helping a troubled kid find the right path, or comforting a friend who needs a shoulder to cry on. Fact is that you'll be changing the world one good deed at a time. Dreams, unlike eggs, don't hatch from sitting on them. Let me repeat that. dreams, unlike eggs, don't hatch from sitting on them. Let all the toxic people complain up a storm. Let the naysayers say that it can't be done. The truth is, you can't, or should I say, won't, make a difference if you don't try. Here are four guidelines to keep in mind. Number one, believe. Have faith that one person can make a difference and that one person, and that one person is you. Number two, act. There are opportunities all around you. Don't wait for someone else to make the first move. Choose one and do something about it. Number three, lead. Be the change that you want to see in the world. Don't just sit. Don't just talk a good game. Lead the way. Let me repeat that. Number three, lead. Be the change that you want to see in the world. Don't just talk the good game. Lead the way. Number four, transform. Throw a pebble into the water and create ripples. Little wins create momentum. Consistency can turn into lasting change. So I said a moment ago, don't look to others, look to yourself. And think about the influence you can have on others in creating a movement. The world is changing every day. If enough people create a ripple for change, we can create a better future. Your choice. Complain about all the things that are wrong or be the person who helps to make them right. One person can make all the difference. And that one person is you. Will you be the one to make a difference? I got a quote here from a former president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Ezra Taft Benson. He served as the Secretary of Agriculture during the Eisenhower administration. President Benson said, quote, "Christ changes men, and changed men and women can change the world. Men and women changed for Christ will be captained by Christ. Men captained by Christ will be consumed in Christ. Their will is swallowed up in His will. They do always those things that please the Lord. Not only would they die for the Lord, but more important, they want to live for Him." Now, I had come across that quote several days ago, and as I was rereading it earlier today, I was struck by an experience that my wife and I had on Saturday. We ventured out to an actual movie theater for the first time in many, many, many months. And I had seen an interview on with Mike Huckabee earlier in the week, where he was interviewing the movie actor Jim Caviezel. Now, if you're familiar with Jim Caviezel, he was the he portrayed Jesus Christ in the Mel Gibson production of The Passion of the Christ. Jim Caviezel has many movie credits, one of which is The Count of Monte Cristo and others. As I listened to the interview that Mike Huckabee had with Jim Caviezel, they were talking about this new movie that was actually released this past weekend called Infidel. And without getting into the nitty-gritty of the movie, just basically it's a movie about the individual that Jim Caviezel represents is a Christian, committed Christian, who has a Christian blog and had done something that earned him an award that he had to travel to Cairo, Egypt to receive. And while he was there, he was invited to do an interview on a major television network there that broadcasts throughout the whole Middle East. And in the course of the interview, the interviewer was talking to him about how Muslims love Jesus, how they think of him as a great prophet, and have great respect for Jesus. And he turned to the interviewee, Jim Caviezel, as this actor portraying this individual, and said, what is your view of Jesus Christ? And he's faced now with a very interesting decision. He could be politically correct and go along and agree with the interviewer that, yes, Jesus was a great teacher, a great prophet in the scriptures, and taught many wonderful principles of how we should live our lives. And he pondered, and he finally looked straight into the camera and said, Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. Well, that caused quite a reaction, because this broadcast went to millions and millions of Muslims throughout the Middle East. And he was accused of trying to proselytize and convert Muslims to Christianity. Ultimately, he gets kidnapped, is tortured, gets shuttled off to Iran. He's tried as a spy. He's going to be shot by, executed with a firing squad. Quite an amazing story. Very intense movie because of the torture that he endures. With the goal was to get him to denounce his faith in Christ and to accept Allah as his supreme focus of worship. And I won't be a spoiler and tell you how it turns out, but I was so impressed by Jim Caviezel's interview with Mike Huckabee and the things that he said in this movie that it reminded me of impact, as he talked about, if you read, as we read scriptures, of how so many of the original apostles were martyred, and how in even our modern age we've seen many martyred. Jim Caviezel talked about, I believe it was the 21 that were martyred by the ISIS organization because they wouldn't denounce Christ. And so persecution is still rampant in our world today. But as I started studying and listening to some other interviews, I came across an interview that Jim Caviezel had with a fellow by the name of Tim Ballard. If you're not familiar with Tim Ballard, Tim Ballard is the CEO and founder of an organization called Operation Underground Railroad. Now, Tim has a background of having been in the CIA and had quite a background in his service in government, and served in a variety of capacities doing work with various government agencies, and as a result found that as he had an assignment to work in the Department of Homeland Security, he was involved in the issue of exploiting, working on the task force to deal with the child trafficking, sex trafficking issues. And he worked for a decade as a special agent for the Department of Homeland Security, where he was assigned to the Internet Crimes Against Children's Task Force, and was deployed as an undercover operative for the U.S. Child Sex Tourism Jump Team. In the course of doing all that, there were a lot of things that couldn't be done because of the government restrictions and things that were just not able to be done because of jurisprudence and the like. And Tim felt impressed that there needed to be more done to rescue the children that were being abducted and sex trafficked and sold into sex slavery, and thus the formation of Operation Underground Railroad. Now, in the process of this work that he's done, amazing things have been accomplished. He's, see what the numbers are here. Operation Underground Railroad has paved the way for permanent eradication of child sex trafficking through coordinated rescues, recovery planning, and in the past 6 years of existence, Operation Underground Railroad has rescued 4,100 victims and assisted in the arrest of more than 2,300 traffickers around the world. So some would say, well, 4,100, that's a lot of people. But as we know, there's literally tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of children and individuals that are being sex trafficked out there in the real world. And some might say, well, you know, what difference does, you know, a few thousand, you know, it's too big of an issue. How can we resolve this? And I'm reminded of the story of the individual that was walking down the seashore one day, and he starts noticing that there's starfish that are stranded along the beach. And down the ways, he sees a fellow that's leaning down and picking something up, and he's throwing it down into the water, and he quickly realizes that he's leaning down and picking up individual starfish and throwing them back into the ocean where they can survive and live and not be stranded on the beach where they'll surely die. And so as he approaches this individual, he says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Oh, I'm saving these starfish." And the guy says, "Well, there's just way too many here. You can't save all of them." The fellow reaches down and he picks up another one and he throws it back into the sea, and he looks at the fellow and he says, "No, but I did just save that one." Well, everyone is precious, and obviously Tim Ballard has accomplished some amazing things through this organization. Now, it was interesting to note that Jim Caviezel and he have come together, and Tim Ballard is going to be a major motion picture come out, presumably this year, hopefully, where it's going to be about the life of Tim Ballard and Operation Underground, and it's going to be an action-packed, pretty amazing movie. And when they asked him who he wanted to be the actor to portray him, he said, "I want Jim Caviezel," which kind of surprised them because they don't necessarily look alike. But he said, "Well, I saw him in The Count of Monte Cristo, and he became my hero. And then when he portrayed Jesus Christ in The Passion of the Christ, I was convinced that's the man that I wanted to portray him." So in this interview that I watched of the two of them, it was fascinating to learn of how committed Jim Caviezel is to this campaign, if you will, this initiative to help rescue sex trafficked children. And in the course of Jim Caviezel's interview, he talks about how in his own life, he's a very committed Roman Catholic and very passionate about the sanctity of life. And he talked about how sometimes we think of certain types of individuals, children with handicaps or health defects or whatever, as being disposable or throwaways. And he said that he and his wife prayerfully considered, and the first adoption they had was a little girl from China that had a brain tumor. And they helped her through the whole process of surgeries and chemotherapy and recovery. And then they adopted another child from a foreign land with a brain tumor, and did the same for her. And then a third child that had cancer of some other nature, and did the same with that child. And I listened to Jim Caviezel speak with passion about his love for these children, the sacrifice that they were willing to make on their behalf. I gained a great appreciation for, again, the impact of one individual, Jim Caviezel, and his commitment in his Hollywood profession. Early on, he would not take roles that would be salacious or be in scenes where he would have to be unclothed. He just refused to have those kinds of parts. And, of course, after he did the portrayal of Jesus the Christ in The Passion of the Christ, he was somewhat blackballed by Hollywood. But he has moved on, and he has made other movies and is continuing to make great movies without the endorsement of the Hollywood elite. So what I would like to just basically suggest to all of us is that, no, you don't have to be a movie star. You don't have to have accomplished some major thing like a Tim Ballard with Operation Underground Railroad. But all of us can have a significant impact on one or more other individuals in our lives, whether it's in our own family with our spouse or with our own children or with a child's friend or with coworkers or someone we know at church or a neighbor. We have innumerable opportunities to reach out and have to be an influence for good, to be a mentor, to be a friend, and to help someone in need. Not necessarily financially, however, sometimes that does play into it. But to be a friend, to be someone that can listen and to encourage and to support another individual who's in distress. I've been blessed with, over the years, having served as a bishop in our church, being able to counsel with many individuals dealing with all types of issues. And subsequent to that, as I have worked with the missionaries of our church during the time of their mission, and then as they've returned home and have gone on to school and marriage and having families of their own, I've had the privilege of being able to befriend and to counsel with many individuals along the way. And I will admit to you that sometimes it's stressful. It can be distressing as individuals deal with pretty serious issues in their lives. But it's so gratifying to be able to recognize that you've played a small part in helping them transition through that difficult time in their life. Earlier, prior to this recording of this broadcast, I had a one-hour conversation with one of our returned missionaries, and he shared with me the influence that I had had on him while he served in the mission, while I was the bishop, and the difference it made for him in his service as a missionary and then at that particular time in his life. And it was gratifying to hear those words. Now, this young man's been home from his mission for 15, 16 years now. My wife and I actually traveled out west to attend his temple marriage and to participate in all of the wonderful joy that that represented. And we've had occasion to meet with them over the years as we've made trips to where the area where they live. A funny story about him. After he returned home from his mission, he called me a few weeks after getting home, and he said, Bishop, I went on a date. And I was so nervous. I just was so nervous. I almost wanted my missionary companion to help me get through the experience. And so we laughed and talked about that. Some months later, as we would call back and forth, some months later, I gave him a call one evening, and he was at the Salt Palace for a hockey game. And it was loud and boisterous, so we didn't talk long. But I asked him if he was there on a date. He said, no, not exactly. There was a group up there, and there was several young women that were there. And I said to him, tell you what, after the game is over, you ask the girls that are there if any of them would want to go get something to eat. And if one, only one says yes, they would, that's the person you're going to marry. And he laughed. Well, sure enough, he followed my counsel and asked, and one said yes, and yes, that's the one he married. And we were able to attend their wedding. So we have that that experience and that fun moment together. And he's often commented about how he gained the courage from my conversation with him to make the ask that night, and what a difference it's made in his life as they're now happily married with many, many children. What a wonderful legacy. Well, I want to testify to you that I know that the power of one is profound. All we have to do is look at the single example of Jesus Christ. He started his ministry. He called 12 apostles. He had a following of thousands. Many left him. And yet today, a worldwide movement of Christianity spreads throughout the globe because of the example and the ministry of just one person, the Son of God,
Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I testify to you that I know that each of us, as Edward Everett Hale said, I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. Something I ought to do, I can do, and by the grace of God, I will. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.